This Three Beards Media podcast may contain mature themes, and if you're not down with that, we got three words for you. Like the podcast. Nailed it!
Would you like to sample some of my nuts? Hello, and welcome back to another edition of Old Man Strength. I am your host, Chris Shipley, with my co-host, as always, Aaron Wall. Aaron, how are you?
I'm pretty good, Chris. I'm going to put you on the spot immediately and tell you to explain yourself.
Okay.
On this tweet, a guy put out a tweet, showed all kinds of fast food joints, and you're on a desert island and you can only pick three of them?
Yes.
Right, like every fast food place you can think of that's a major national, and a few regionals are on this thing. It's a pretty extensive list.
Yes.
And your dumbass picks Hardee's, Pizza Hut, and McDonald's.
I'm a simple man.
Explain it. You explained that Hardee's was because it has the best breakfast.
Right, okay. So Hardee's has the absolute best breakfast, hands down. I will fight anybody that says otherwise. In fast food, pizza, because okay. I had to have pizza, and that was out of the list.
Sure,
that was the only decent one.
No,
over
no
Papa John's.
Pizza,
huh? I'm not eating Sbarro. I'm not eating that. McDonald's. It's because they have the best fountain pop.
It's all fountain pop. It's all the same.
It's different. Coat. McDonald's fountain pop is 100% different than anywhere else.
Oh, you're insane. I mean, there are things like Panda Express on here.
Yeah.
Fazoli's.
I'm not eating Fazoli's.
I get it, but I mean, like, you picked two burger joints that are basically exactly the same.
I almost threw in a donut place there. I almost threw in IHOP because I figured I could get any meal I wanted there at IHOP.
But, yeah, okay.
But the fountain pop at McDonald's, that was the kicker.
I mean, there's a Boston Market on here.
Dude, I have not eaten at a Boston Market in 20 years.
But like get some variety in your life, honky.
What if I would have chose Arby's?
Well, that's fine, but it's still another basic fast food burger place for the most part.
I will say if Taco John's would have been on the list, I would have took Taco John's.
Sure.
But not
sure.
Taco Bell.
I wanted Taco John's to be on that list too, but it, you know, I just couldn't fathom why you selected two things that are exactly the same. So I would have taken Dairy Queen because I get ice cream and their burgers and stuff are as good as McDonald's or anybody else's.
Okay.
The other option there was a toss up. I could go Wendy's. Because I love the Wendy's spicy chicken and their burgers are good. They have the Baconator and I can get a Frosty.
Okay.
I wasn't sure about which one of those two I would take. Then a pizza place. Take your pick. Any pizza place will do. I don't need a breakfast place because I have pizza. Leftover pizza for breakfast.
I'm not eating. Listen, cold pizza, that's absolutely disgusting.
You are a lunatic.
It's gross.
And then I need some sort of other Taco Time's pretty good. If you don't like,
you've probably never had Taco Time.
El Pollo Loco is pretty good. That's on there. That's I've only ever had that in California, but
I almost swapped out Little Caesars for pizza because I figured their $5 take and bakes are pretty sweet. But then I realized that money was no object because I already owned them.
Yeah, but I don't know. We should probably get to our guest because
why don't we ask our
wrong you are about this for hours.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll bring on our guest and we'll ask him. All right.
Okay.
So we are super excited to have a Des Moines Register reporter and food connoisseur, Waveland Cafe fan, Tommy Birch, Tommy, how are you tonight?
Good. I had Wave one for breakfast this morning, and we had some stuff to do this morning. So, like, my wife and our like 3 month old had breakfast late, and I murdered that breakfast. It was it got ugly. I told my wife before the food came, I was like, it's gonna get bad, and I was so hungry.
Breakfast is, I would eat that any time of the day. So,
yeah, for a long time, like, I was not a breakfast person, but, yeah, I mean, and Des Moines, like, has some really good spots. You know, Waveland Cafe, I like Drake Diner. God, I forget what the other spot is that we've been going to, like, Homegrown, I think it's what it's called. They have really good food. But, yeah, there's some killer spots in Des Moines for breakfast.
Well, let's see how terrible your take is here. So the premise is that you've won a private island,
yeah,
and you get to have three of these restaurants built on it. Which three are you choosing?
The three on the screen?
Yep.
Yeah, you have to pick from the ones on the screen
here. I really got to peer in there because, like, one, my sight's bad. I mean, McDonald's is definitely tops. Like, I love McDonald's. Breakfast is solid. Lunch, dinner. Like, man, then I think maybe Sonic, just because it's such a wide range menu. Like, you can get hot dogs, you can get burgers, you can, like, any type of fast food.
That's a legit
cheese tots.
Yeah. And then maybe, like, IHOP is sneaky
good. See, I almost put that in.
Yeah. I have bad experience. I dated a girl that worked at an IHOP when I was in college. So, like, I think I've only been back to IHOP since, like, maybe once, and that was, like, on New Year's.
That's the one thing you definitely don't want to do, is you don't want to eat somewhere where you worked before, because it just totally ruins it for you.
Yeah, I've been lucky. I don't think I've ever worked fast food. I mean, this has pretty much been my only job, working at the register. When I was in college, I worked as a lifeguard at the YMCA in Ankeny. Like, I used to be in really good shape. Like, I would run, like, 3 miles a day, and the pay was horrible at the YMCA. But how they get you is, if you work there, you get free membership. So yeah, and it was a genius idea by me, where I only took the shifts where, like, the high school swim team was working, or, like, practicing. Because I was like, nobody is going to drown on a high school swim team. And I was like, and if somebody does, like, there's going to be somebody that can get to them faster than me. But I remember, like, my first day, I'm walking in, I feel all confident about that. And, like, one of the coaches goes to me, first day, huh? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, see a girl in lane 5? And I'm like, which one? He points around and goes, yeah. 2 years ago, I saved her life. And I was like, what? And he was saying, like, yeah, she was swimming so hard, she passed out. He had to go into the water, pull her out, do CPR. And, like, that thought process never, like, had hit me. And suddenly I'm like, oh, my God. Maybe I've gone into, like, the worst shift to work. But my plan always was, like, I always felt good with the pulling them out part. The CPR, probably not my strong suit. So my game plan was always, like, I can pull somebody out. Hopefully by then, like, somebody will take control of the situation.
Or get them pulled out before they need CPR.
Yeah,
and then just start to thrash around.
Luckily, exactly. I never went in. There was only one time, you know, I got pushed in once. But there was one time, it was like the Des Moines Police Academy was doing like testing or training, and I'm watching these guys like swim from end to end. And there, like, there was one guy who, like, I really thought this guy is not going to make it. And there were two things that kept going through my mind. One, I was like, if I ever have to run from the cops, I'm going straight to water because none of these guys can swim. And the second, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go in and get this dude. And it was like head bobbing up and down. He made it there. I hope to God he is not a cop.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, so, I can only imagine. I immediately regret this decision.
Yeah, team. Right? Yeah. I was like, oh my God. What am I doing? I was like thinking like I can just hang out, jam out to some music. Oh no.
So where did you go to college at, Tommy? Where were you at?
So I went to DMAC first, and then I went to Iowa State, and I worked. Okay. That's kind of how I got into all this. So I originally went to Ellsworth Community College. I was going to go play baseball there. And I got up there like a couple of days before the first day of class. I was like, this sucks. Like, Iowa Falls is not the place for me to live in. And I kept, every day I was up there, I kept driving back to Ames. I had a buddy that lived in PICAPS. In Ames, and I would go party there and crash on his futon there. And I was like, oh, I'm just gonna transfer. So I transferred to DMAC on the first day of school, and one of the few classes that was available was a like basic reporting principles, like journalism class. I've worked on like my high school paper and stuff like that. Like, my game plan originally was like, I'm going to play baseball, probably get into coaching, maybe do like teaching. You know, I figured I might study journalism. But then I went to DMAC. That was one of the few classes that was available. And that kind of, you know, got me stuck in this line of work.
Stuck.
17. Like, I was trying to do the math. Like, I started working, like, I was employed by the Register in 08. But, like, I started writing for the Register as, like, a freelancer when I was in college in 04. So, like 20 years. Yeah. Like, and it's funny, like, those first couple of years, every year I would always be like, I'm just going to do this for like a year. You know, I'm going to do it till like I find something better. And I don't know at what point I just got to where I just like quit thinking like I'm going to do something better. Like, I thought about PR because I had interned for the Iowa Cubs in their media relations department. And I'd reach out to a couple of schools, a couple of teams locally, and thought like that's the route I'm gonna go. Or like, you know, like when I first started at the Register, I was like part-time, so I was like making no money. Like, my roommate, we lived, I don't know, are you guys, you got Chris, I know you're in Des Moines, right?
Yep, I'm in Norwalk. Yeah,
yeah. Me and like my best friend, the guy who lived in PICAPS, his name's Ian Pope. We got an apartment right behind the original Wellman's, and it looks like a motel. Like, it is straight up a motel. And like, our rent was like $800 for a two bedroom apartment. There was like a woman there that lived two rooms down from us that had been there since like the 1950s and had a fixed rent. So she was paying like $20. But we lived behind there, and that dude worked at Wells Fargo, and you know, he is going out every night living life. And I'm like trying to like do the math when we go out to like Wellman's, like, okay, I can have one rum and coke. Can I have two shots or just one? Like, how much money do I have? And like, at that point, I was like, man, maybe I'll go work at Wells Fargo or something like that. But
God, you dodged a bullet there, let me tell you.
Yeah. And it's funny, like, you, when you're in Des Moines, you go anywhere. Like, it seems like everybody says they work at Wells Fargo still.
Yeah. Yeah, when I worked at Wells Fargo, I jokingly said that I thought Wells Fargo owned me, because one time I was filling out my taxes and my W-2s were from Wells Fargo. And then it asked me where I wanted to put my money, or asked me to, you know, for my interest on my home. Oh, well, that's a Wells Fargo loan. Okay, what bank account do you want it deposited into? I guess that's Wells Fargo as well. I was like, this sucks ass. And I worked in Technology Connection, which was like the help desk.
Yeah.
And that was like a prison tied to a phone. Sorry, Mike Dyer, my best friend Mike Dyer, who's still a supervisor there.
I did do one day at a telemarketing firm.
Dude, that
when before I got the lifeguard job. my like three of my buddies did it, and they made great money, and they would like the hours were pretty good too, where they work like 9 to 3 or 4, and like Fridays they would get out really early, and they were just making great money by like college kid standards.
Yeah.
And I went there one day and I was like, I can't do this. Like I'll die on the job.
Worst job you've ever had, Aaron?
I believe it. Telemarketing? I can't imagine. I've never done that. The worst job I've ever had? Let's see. I haven't had any what I would call really terrible jobs.
You're a lucky guy.
Yeah, don't talk about a privileged life.
Well, I mean, it's not that I've done glamorous jobs or anything. I mean, I worked at the Iowa State Swine Nutrition Farm for a while, shoveling shit. And,
but okay, sounds like a terrible job.
Well, while it was gross, I was in college, you know. It was gross, but I got to basically set my own hours and go in when
outside.
I wanted to. I mowed the lawn, which was a huge campus-type lawn situation. And I mean, I got paid to kind of work when I wanted, so it wasn't all bad, you know. There was always something good about it. Maybe the worst one I've ever had was probably working for UPS, and that wasn't a bad job. It's just,
do you deliver or load?
No, I was a loader, unloader in the evenings at the hub in Ames.
Gotcha.
When I was in college, and that was probably the worst one, because it was just brutal hot some days in those trailers, and you know.
Do you watch Can Queens? They always call the loaders like Can Queens belt guys, you know, because they would wear the big belts to like help, you know, make sure they didn't have back pain.
Oh yeah, we never got any of those.
I wouldn't say Wells Fargo was my worst job. I would say the summer that I worked at the Yonkers warehouse downtown, pulling orders for china and glassware. This dates me really long. So you know where Malo's is, the old firehouse, right across the street from there is a Wells Fargo parking garage. That used to be a Yonkers warehouse building right there. And I worked there in the summer of 89. And that was when people would go to Yonkers, and if you like registered for a wedding or whatever, they would like pick out glassware and chinaware and whatever. Those orders would come into the warehouse and we would have to pull those. And there was no air conditioning. It was hotter than Hades in that building. That entire summer was the summer they were building 801 Grand. I was watching it get built out of the window that I stood at for an entire summer. It was absolutely terrible. And I was probably 17, and I'll never forget. I was in this crotchety old elevator with the girl that worked in the office. And I looked down and she had like, I thought she'd like spilled some ink or something on her leg, because it was this giant thing, and it was kind of dark in there, and I said, did you spill something on your leg? And she turned it around, and it was a tattoo of a panther. And all she said was, no, that's my other pussy. Oh, geez. I was like, okay, I need to get off this elevator right now.
Some wild people.
Some wild people. So, yeah, craziest job. But, you know, what can you do? I had to do what I had to do before I went to Ames. So,
so you've been at the register this whole time, really, but you've had different roles while at the register. So,
Aaron, you got to put your glasses up, man. I can't. I mean, I know this is old man strength, but you don't actually have to play the part.
Well, you know, it's the problem is if I want to read something on my screen, I have to, you know, have the glasses on. And then the rest of the time, if I'm looking at something else, I can look over them. Because I'm 1,000. But so, like, when you started at the register, what were you first doing? And then how did it kind of progress to where you're at now?
Yeah, man. It's kind of wild. Like when I first started there, I first started doing freelance stuff when I was in college. And that's like, go cover a high school football game. We'll give you 50, 75 bucks, whatever. And then when I got done with college, I remember they had a news assistant job open up, which is pretty much work 3 or 4 nights a week. You take phone calls, answer emails, you take box scores. People nowadays don't know what the Agate page is, but it was like just full box scores. I would type up like Drake versus Southern Illinois softball. And on Friday nights, I would write recaps on high school football games we weren't staffing. So like, you know, back then we staffed like every CIML football game. We were at every one of them. So write like 3 or 4 sentences on Van Meter versus, you know, Norwalk, and did that for like football, baseball, basketball. We did recaps for wrestling, I think sometimes swimming. And like, I was just like, that's during that time where I was just like, man, I'm going to do this for a year. But also I was like, well, I kind of want to get some work. So like, I would beg for assignments, like, you know, we need somebody to cover like the CIML Iowa conference swim meet. And I was like, yeah, me. And like, nobody wanted to do it. Of course I was. So I started taking a ton of just bitch work and just kept doing it. I would pitch stories and stuff like that. So they gave me more and more work. And then they realized, like, okay, like, you know, we want to get this guy on full time. So what they did was they worked it out where I was like a news assistant doing what I was doing. But then I would spend half my hours doing that and then the other half in community pubs. I don't know if you remember the old, like, sections where it was like the West Des Moines Register, Register. Yeah.
Yep.
And I was what they call a mojo reporter. And it was short for mobile journalist, but like I would go out to like the Waukee Library, and when they would do like water balloon fights, it would be the stupidest community events. Like on like a great week, it was like 4th of July parade in West Des Moines. But like that's 1 week out of the year. Like every week during the year, I'd have to find some kind of community event. And like, you know, the Waukee Library and West Des Moines Library, West Des Moines and Waukee were like my two areas. Those were gold mines. Like they had events for everything, especially during the summer, you know, because parents are just like, we want to get kids out of the house. We'll send them. So I would like go to these things. I would shoot like 10 photos and write like 300 word story on it, no matter how dumb it was. And so I did that for a little while, and then, you know, the plan was always, I think, to get me full time into sports. So then I got full time into sports after a little bit and did like all high school stuff, and then moved on to Iowa State football and men's. At one point, I was doing football, men's and women's basketball, and Iowa State wrestling. And I remember, like, when I was doing that, I had like a string of like 21 straight days that I was at like Hilton Coliseum or Jack Trice. And I remember thinking, like, I just gotta go get my old apartment on Highland from when I went to Iowa State. Like, that's what I should do. But I did that for a while, and then I think it was like 5-6 years ago, I moved into a features kind of reporter role. I still do Iowa State women's basketball. I still do iCubs. Kind of the game plan was, when I moved into this one, Iowa State was still really good at women's basketball, and they were like, well, we don't want to change things up. You're doing a good job. Just keep doing that. And the Iowa Cubs, like, I love doing that. And Iowa State women have just stayed really good, and I haven't, you know, passed it on to anybody, and I don't think I will. I enjoy doing it, so. But that's kind of where I'm at now. Yeah, it's kind of wild to think. But, like, during those early years, like, I was covering, like, high school bowling. You know, swimming was huge for me. I'm trying to think, like, through the years, every state tournament I've covered, and I think it's like every one but like golf. I don't know how I avoided that, but yeah.
So you've been on the Iowa State beat for quite a while. Let me ask you, story maybe that the statutes of limitations are up now that you could tell. Any nuggets out there that probably you glossed over or didn't report that now is available to tell?
Yeah. You know, I could probably go more into like the Jacob Park story. I think that is absolutely, to me, it's fascinating on so many levels. I mean, both of you guys, I'm assuming, remember Jacob Park.
Yep.
So it's like, I get a tip early in the Oklahoma week that Jacob Park's been suspended. And I was like, okay, I've reached out to a couple of coaches that I knew pretty well on staff. Everybody ghosted me. And I'm like, oh boy, this might be true. He might be suspended. And I texted Campbell, and Campbell got back to me like, bam, right away. And he responds like, absolutely not true. I don't know where that came from. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty direct.
Emphatic. I was like,
okay. And so I put it out there on Twitter. And, you know, because I think at some point, like, the rumor had gotten so loud that, like, it had to be addressed somehow.
Sure.
So I put it out there, you know, Campbell says he's not suspended, whatever. And somebody that I know in the Iowa State community that's I don't want to dive too much into who they could be, but or stature, but they responded to me like, Matt Campbell is lying to you. And I'm like, it really made me think. And this is Matt Campbell's second year. So it's like, I knew Campbell, but like, I'd heard stories from beat reporters when he was at, you know, Toledo, that would always say, like, you know, Matt would be like, oh yeah, so-and-so is fine. And then, you know, 4 days later, they're out on the field on like a cart, not walking. So yeah, I was like,
we've been saying for years now online that day-to-day means the guy's dead.
Right. Like, Alex Gukin put out like something a long time ago where it was like, day-to-day means they're out for at least a month. It's like, if he says it's serious, oh god, they might be dead. Like,
right.
Yeah.
But we didn't know all this at the time. And
right.
And like, I kept going back to, like, Campbell's first year, I forget who the quarterback was. Maybe it was Devin Moore. Somebody had suffered. No, it was Zeb Nolan. Zeb Nolan suffered an ACL injury. And, like, Campbell, post-practice, like, is not talking to us that day. Another coach is. Like, Campbell comes out of his way and is like, by the way, Zeb got hurt, out for the year. So in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, maybe he's come to Iowa State. He understands. It's not Toledo. Like, there are a few more reporters. So when this happens, I'm like, this is getting really interesting. Then I reach out to some other people. They're like, yeah, he's not with the team. Something's going on. So, like, Randy Pearson and I are in Oklahoma, and we go to the team hotel. Like, I reached out to Iowa State's communication staff, and they were just like, okay, you know, you can meet with us. We'll talk to you. Campbell gets off the bus and sees Randy and I. And I think the plan was, like, I might come talk to you guys. He like, grabs me by the shoulder, like, kind of, like, or, you know, puts his arm around me. Like, you know, we're going to go, like, walk down Welch together. And we go into this ballroom. It's me, him, Randy, and a communications guy for Iowa State. And, you know, at that point, we see both team buses roll up. Jacob Park's not there. So we're like, okay, we've got that. And Campbell is like, he hands us the statement that they're going to put out that Jacob Park's taking an indefinite leave of absence from the team for personal reasons. So in Campbell's mind, like, he has not lied to me. You know, Jacob Park has not been suspended.
Right.
But upon further review, you know, when I talked to Jacob Park a couple months later, which is another good story, he helped me break into my car. We can talk about that. But, you know, he was like, you guys can have this. Can you sit on it till tomorrow morning? It's 11 a.m. kickoff. We're like, Matt, like, it's out there. Like, the Park is not with the team. Like, is the worst kept secret. I go to him, like, I go, Matt, Vegas has taken this game off the board. You cannot bet on this game because Jacob Park is not playing in it. And that's, you know, we even have, like, we're telling our editor at the time, like, this is what's going on. We're going to meet with Campbell. And Campbell is, like, trying to tell us, like, hold the story till tomorrow morning. And I'm like, who are you kidding? Like,
right.
I remember, like, saying, like, do you really think Oklahoma gives a crap? Like, is it going to make a difference if Jacob Park starts? Or, you know, at that time, we're thinking Zeb. And, right. Like, my sports editor calls. And I'm like, you know, we can't leave here empty-handed. I show him my phone. That's my boss calling. Do you want to talk to him? And Campbell goes, no. And finally, we, like, settle on, like, 8 p.m. You know, we like, worked out an agreement with him that we're going to wait to, you know, we got the press release ahead of time. And, you know, we would put it out and they would wait a little bit. Because I think the whole reason was, like, he thought, like, yeah, Oklahoma's prep was going to be done by 8 p.m. And but it was just insane. It's not
like they had tape on Kyle Kemp anyways.
Yeah, and nobody, I mean, I remember, like, the one area we really dropped the ball on the story was, like, we didn't ask Campbell, like, who's starting. Because I think we assumed.
You just assumed it was Nolan.
Yeah. So then all the stories start popping, you know, I think somebody from ESPN put out, you know, Kemp was gonna start. And I was like, God damn it. You know, we probably should have gotten that one too. But we were spending all this time going back and forth. And that's, like, the one time where I fully realized that, like, Matt Campbell lives in a world where, like, the outside noise he just really doesn't pay attention to. And I'd always heard stories, and I knew for a fact that, like, Rhodes read everything, saw everything. If he missed it, somebody would tell him. Like, I've got a good road story if you want to hear this.
Yeah, we'll hear it.
Well, but before that, though, I've been on record as saying it on Twitter and other places, message boards, etc. Park was the most physically gifted arm and quarterback Iowa State's ever seen.
Good God. He was.
His ball was so good.
Yeah.
All the talent.
Yeah. And the stories that we heard, you know, I could probably share this one, but like the story I had heard, I don't know how accurate it was, but the story was that, you know, he supposedly took a pass at like another teammate's girlfriend, and they were like, actually my boyfriend's on the football team. And he was like, oh, well, you know, and I mean, Jacob was honest to an absolute fault, where that ended up being the downfall to his career too, where, you know, during this whole time away, I was constantly reaching out to him, you know, and eventually one day he just responds to me, and we meet up at a Jimmy John's right by the Des Moines airport. And that's where he tells me everything. Huh. Like, I failed a drug test. It wasn't my first. That's why I'm, you know, not playing. I feel like they've, you know, they don't care about me, which, you know, I think to a certain degree was probably accurate, because, you know, Kyle Kemp was playing so well. And I think it got to a point with Jacob where it's just like, man, like, how many chances are we going to give you? Because, like, if you go back and look at the quotes of what Matt Campbell would say, like, during spring ball and stuff like that, like, he was so direct that we need a leader. And Jacob Park was just not going to be that guy. So then, like, that's a whole other story, too, where, you know, it's like Park has this long sit down with me and tells me all this stuff. He's just like, yeah, I'm requesting my transfer. Well, you know, I sat down with him. I really did not think the interview was going to happen. Like, he was like Steele Jantz, where, you know, everybody was trying to track down Steele for so long. Nobody had talked to Jacob. It was like whispers. And I'm thinking, you know, like, when he responds to me and we agree to meet at this Jimmy John's, I'm thinking, like, I'm going to get cat.
I know exactly what Jimmy John's you're talking about, by the way. I drive by it to work every day.
We did not eat any sandwiches.
Oh, I was going to say, that's a cheap scoop, a Jimmy John's sandwich. Yeah.
And I was so, like, in doubt that this would happen, that I get out of my car. The car's still running. I lock my keys in the car. And, like, Park just gave me this, you know, exclusive interview, and he's just told me everything. And I remember thinking, like, this dude any second is just going to go on Twitter that, like, I'm transferring, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, my God, how am I going to get into my car? Like,
I got to get this out before he spoils it.
And, you know, if you ever met Jacob, like, he is like a true handyman, where he was helping me. Like, he got tools out of his truck and he's like trying to like break into the car with me. And I remember like saying to him, like, you realize like how messed up this would be if like anybody just showed up here. Like, if some random ass Iowa State fan showed up and they see Jacob Park and they're like, you know, if they happen to know me, or there's like, why is Jacob Park breaking into a car right now?
Well, he's really fallen down the.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, it was wild. Like, I had my wife now, she was at the bar, like, having a night. She had to go to my apartment, get the keys, Uber taxi all the way out to the Des Moines airport from Beaverdale. near the Jimmy John's there, and she was so pissed off at me. Like, one, like, I'm leaving the bar to go, like, two, you're a dumbass. How do you leave your keys locked in the car? But it was wild because, like, you know, then we call, you know, I call Campbell, and he has an answer. We give him an hour or so, and they eventually, I think how it worked out was he eventually reached back out to me and was like, yeah, I'm not going to comment. And then so then we published the story, and he reads the story, and he calls me back like 2 minutes later. He's like, Tommy, what the hell? Like, he's like, he was like, this is all a bunch of BS. And I'm like, which part? And he goes, I don't know. Like, I had to like talk him through almost like, well, I can keep no commenting you here, but like, you know, you're star quarterback here is obviously pissed off about some things, like, right. And he eventually is like, yeah, he's gonna, you know, we wish him the best, yada, da, da, da. And you could tell he was just like, I'm gonna kill this kid. Just, he was like, I don't know who I want to kill first, Jacob Parker, Tommy Burch. But I mean, but that also like speaks volumes about Campbell, where like that dude moved on so fast from it, where not only what he did with Park, but then like I never, in my opinion, felt like he held like a deep grudge to me, right. Which I know plenty of coaches would have.
He knows you're doing your job. I'm sure.
Totally. Yeah. You know, it's, I think that was like a aha, oh my God, I'm not in Kansas anymore, yeah, moment for him.
I'm sure. You know, that little week and a half period is always like drilled into my brain, because that Texas game was the first night that I came home from being in the hospital after I found out I had cancer. Wow. So it was the first night that I came home. And I'll never forget, I had two TVs going. It was the Texas-Iowa State game, and it was the Bears-Packers game. And let's just say at the end of the night, I was not happy on either front. It was so depressing. And I remember that next Saturday, I was going somewhere, and I told my wife, I was like, there's no fucking reason why I need to be home soon enough to watch the game, because they're starting some dude named Kemp. I don't even know. We're going to get our asses whacked down there. But I ended up getting home in like the middle of the second quarter or something. And I was like, oh, okay, let's turn out all right. But those two games will always be burned into my brain because of that.
I'm not going to say who the other reporter is, but like the night before that Iowa State Oklahoma game, and you could probably guess, but I won't say who it was. But he and I went, you know, the game was 11 a.m. We went out and like closed down an arcade bar in Oklahoma. And and like the entire game, like I remember before the game talking to Heft, and I'm like, what do you think? And he's like, just hope nobody gets hurt. And I think it was Max Olson. Or not Max Olson, one of the Maxes who worked for ESPN, but now he covers, I think the Broncos for ESPN. But, you know, he was covering Big 12 football for ESPN at the time. And I'm like, before the game, I'm like, what are you doing here? And he's just like, yeah, I'm hoping to get some work done. And, you know, by halftime, he was like, I'm going to look like a genius for being at this game. But even then, like, at halftime, like, I remember, like, talking to another reporter, and I was like, are they going to win this? And he's like, you know, and we've covered Iowa State long enough that he was just like, they'll piss it away somehow. And even in the fourth quarter, we're just like, somehow they're going to blow this. But a reporter looked at me on, like, the second to last possession and goes, oh, they're really gonna make us work today. And that was the most fun I've ever had covering a game, because the storylines were just like, it was like the perfect storm. They beat Oklahoma, the starting quarterback suspended, the third string quarterbacks taking over. And that was like Joel Lanning's like huge game of playing both ways, where he freaking sacked Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Let's get a break. We're going to get a word from Revelton Distilling Company, our primary sponsor. Of course, we're broadcasting from the AKC Marketing, Andrew Downs studio. So if you need any branded merchandise, which I've been ordering a lot from my job from Andrew, he'll hook you up. And then when we come back, Tommy, I want to hear this Paul Rhodes story. So we'll be right back.
Why take the best corn in the world and make it into fuel when you could make it into whiskey? That's the question that launched Revelton, Iowa's most visible and fastest growing distillery. Owners Rob and Christy Taylor embrace the grain-to-glass philosophy, sourcing ingredients locally and overseeing on-premises production and bottling at their facility in Osceola. One sip, and you'll agree that Revelton's handcrafted whiskeys, gins, and vodkas are the best you've ever tasted. And with the launch of their rye whiskey, made with 100% Iowa-grown rye and corn, and their new bourbon coming soon, there's more Revelton to love than ever. Iowa's own Revelton Distillery. ReveltonDistillery.com.
All right, and we are back. And rumor has it that Revelton's bourbon is getting released May 18th. That's the rumor. Check out all their social media. It's been a long time coming. So
if you don't go buy me a bottle, you're dead to me.
I will go buy you a bottle. It's fine. You bet, Tommy. We'll get you hooked up. You bet. At least I won't be breaking any federal laws by getting you a bottle. I have to ship it to Aaron and some.
That's not
go in there and I gotta go in there and lie to the poor postwoman when she says, "Is there anything liquid or fragile in here?" And I'll say no.
That's not true. You just need to find an excuse for me to come out and have some kind of a Three Beards event.
Well, I think we're going to have a barbecue in June. So,
Okay. See,
all right, there you go.
There you go.
All right. So Tommy, before the break, we were talking about Matt Campbell and so on. Obviously Paul Rhodes was there before. Completely different, two different personalities, right? Like Paul, you know, wore his heart on his sleeve and his anger and whatever else. Although Campbell, I think, you know, lets some loose as well, but not so much as public. You teased a little bit about a Paul Rhodes story. What do you got for us?
Yeah, so I remember, like, Rhodes' final season at Iowa State, I had to sit down with him, like, 2 days before media day. And he, like, you know, this was really, Iowa State had gone out of their way to make this happen. Like, they could have easily have been, like, we're going to have media day in 2 days. Like, just talk to him then. But they were fantastic about it, hooked me up. And, like, the entire interview, like, I've got long lists of stuff, but, like, the number one thing I wanted to know, like, going into it was, like, you know, basically, are you concerned about your job security as you're going into this last season? And I'm asking him, he doesn't want to answer, he's avoiding it, he's ducking, dodging. So, like, I ask it a couple of different ways. And he finally, like, gives me a quote, and I'm like, okay, I can finally move on from there. And we had this photographer, Rodney White, at the time he was shooting video in the interview, and he's like picking up his stuff. We're in Rhodes' office, and he's picking up his stuff, so I'm like trying to, you know, not make it awkward while we're just lounging around there. And I'm like, hey, Paul, thanks. I appreciate the time, you know. You didn't have to do this. And he goes, yeah, I know. He's like, gotta tell you what, though, if I have to keep answering all these questions about my job security, I'm not sure it's basically going to happen anymore. And I was like, whoa. I was like, wow. And I was like, okay, you know, at the time I was still pretty young. I was just like, sorry, I just had to ask. And I forget I know who the coach is. I won't say who it was, but I walk out of his office and one of the coaches like stops me. He's like, how'd it go? And I was like, yeah, I think Paul's kind of mad at me. You know, he was a little pissy about me asking about job security. He goes, what the hell else were you going to ask him? I was like, yeah. And it's funny, like Rodney, we leave and Rodney's like, did he he threatened you? And I'm like, yeah, but I'm like, what can, like, Paul was helpful. He was kind of like, Randy was kind of his guy. Like, he would sure. talk to Randy more. Because Randy, you know, I got thrown in on the beat with like 2 or 3 years left in Rhodes' tenure. And like, those were like the worst 3 years. And so, you know, I was young. I was still trying to figure it out. But I was so like, Rhodes couldn't have like taken anything from me. And I go, yeah, I think so. That was kind of weird, right? So then we leave and he gets fired. But the day he got fired was just, it was wild where, you know, I remember Wally Burnham, you know, walking by and Randy, you know, goes, you know, at that time, when, you know, Rhodes was like, I'm going to talk at the Monday presser. And Wally, the nicest guy in the world, just a great human being. He walks by and Randy's like, "Well, can we get you?" He goes, "You have enough to F and write about today." And the funniest thing is, like, this was nuts where, like, Iowa State's final game is at West Virginia. And, like, they're hiring Campbell that day. And the next night, he's getting flown into Ames. Like, me and a couple of reporters met him at the airport. But I, like, hauled ass to get to Ames, like, thinking, because I knew I'd gotten tipped off. He had a meeting with players. So, like, I had it where, like, I hadn't driven to the airport, but my dad picked me up at the airport. I jumped into his car, and he, you know, hauled it to Ames and like threw me out of the car. And I'm thinking at the time, like, we ended up, me and a couple of reporters waited around. But I remember we're in the parking lot and there's a truck backed up to the facility. And you can see, you know, stuff getting taken out. And you're assuming, like, okay, it's some of the other coaches. And the car eventually, it like pulls out and like flies out of the parking lot, and it was Rhodes. I was like, holy crap, that's just. And then a couple hours later, you know, Campbell's you know, at the airport. It was funny,
it's almost like a presidential transition. Yeah. One guy's moving out while the other one's getting ready to move in.
You know what's funny is, like, all those coaches and support staff, like, nobody knew, like, am I staying, am I coming or going, you know, is Campbell going to keep me? And the one guy we felt confident in saying was going to stay was Lou Ianni, who was on a staff at Toledo. Yeah. And I remember at, like, Campbell's introductory press conference, like, everybody, like, support staff and stuff like that is in, like, Iowa State gear and, you know, sweatpants. And Ianni shows up in, like, a brand new 3-piece suit with, like, the tag still on it. And we're all like, yeah, I think Lou's staying.
I ran into him, like, a week later at an airport. Yep. I was flying out and he was on my flight and I walked up to him and I didn't know. I just knew who he was. And I think I said something about, I'm super excited for Coach Campbell. And his response to me was, he's a different cat. That's all he said. And I was like, okay, well, that's what I'll take. So I'll take it.
It's wild when you go back and you think about that end of that Rhodes era, like Mark Mangino.
Oh, there's tons of stories there. I've heard rumors and hearsay about some of the things that happened with that. That's someday that'll all come out and it'll be wild.
I was actually talking to a former Iowa State football player the other day about this, and like where the story, and I'd always heard versions of it where, you know, eventually it just ended with, you know, Rhodes yelling at like Mangino on the practice field, like get the F off my field, and he like, and don't come back. And he didn't. And I mean, Mangino, everything you had read about Mangino, heard about Mangino, learned about Mangino before he got there was exactly what you thought. Because we always got to watch like the first spring, first fall practice. And usually it's just BS. Like you weren't seeing anything. Except for the year Joel Lanning's playing linebacker, which, you know, I remember like telling Randy ahead of time, like, dude, I'm hearing Lanning's playing linebacker. And sure shit, we go to practice and he's playing linebacker. But like the first practice Mangino is in, you know, he's doing the bag drill with running backs where he's got the, you know, a manager's got the bag and they're running through and you hit him with the bag, try to force a fumble. This poor kid who's a student manager for Iowa State, probably his first practice, isn't doing it to Mangino standards. And all of a sudden you hear, what the F? It just comes, you know, waddling across the field. And he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And like grabs the bag from this kid. And, you know, the backs would come in and it would just be like, pow, pow, pow. And it's like, and it ends, and, you know, Mangino throws the bag on the ground. He's like, that's how you effing do it. And, like, I remember I looked at somebody and I go, wonder what it's like when we're not here. Like, right. I was like, this guy's a lunatic. But, like, that's, you know, the full. The other funny story, if you want to hear this, I've never reported this. This is a great Mangino story. I have it on great authority that, you know, at one point it's Richardson, Rojas, and Lanning at quarterback. And I guess like he looked at, you know, Sammy, he's like, you're not a Big 12 quarterback. And he looks at Rojas and he's like, you're not a Big 12 quarterback. He looks at Lanning and he's like, you're not a Big 12 quarterback. And they're just like, well, one of us gotta be, like, by default, like somebody is going to be the Big 12 quarterback here. So it's wild to look back at that time.
That is crazy. That is absolutely crazy.
Who's that kid? I'm trying to think of who that quarterback was that supposedly he selected, hand selected out of Texas. It was what was that kid?
He was out of, I know who you're talking about too.
Lake Travis or something. I can't think of any. I mean, the kid didn't even last, he lasted a year.
Man, I know who you're talking about too. Because like Alex Halstead, who's like one of my really good friends that covered Iowa State for 24/7 when Iowa State played at like Baylor or Texas or somewhere, he went and covered like his Friday night football game. And he was like, yeah, seems okay to me. But everybody was like obsessed. Like, he's a quarterback. He's from Texas. He's got to be good. And like forever, that was kind of like, that coaching staff's like philosophy when it came to recruiting is like, maybe like the third tier a player in Texas is better than the first tier type of player from Minnesota or Iowa. Whereas like Campbell and his staff are just like, we don't care where you're from. If you're good, you're good.
Yeah, for sure. Right. Aaron, you want to ask the
Dominic DeLira.
Oh, yeah. I wonder why he was typing furiously. Yeah.
I didn't pull up the 2015 recruiting class real quick. Yeah. I don't remember it was. So
yeah, that's his name. That's a good poll.
I have never even heard of that dude. So
he was, like I said, I think he was here for 1 year. I think he was at ISP for 1 year. So
yeah, Dom DeLira. What a poll.
Yeah. But what you were saying, Chris?
That's all right, Aaron. Do you want to ask him the Wintrust mortgage question of the pod?
What is the question this time?
I don't know. I figured you'd come up with one.
Oh, no? Okay. The Wintrust mortgage question of the pod. All right. So we're going to go back to the beginning of the pod. This is called a callback, Chris.
Yeah, I'm aware of what it's called.
When you're talking about living in a place and going out and whatnot, I've asked this on another pod I used to do on Bitter Units when we were doing the beer pod still. Borrowed it from somebody else then. It's 2:00 in the morning. You've been out drinking. What's your order at Taco Bell?
6-pack and a pound.
That's Taco John's.
I'll allow it. Wait, Taco. Okay, so Taco Bell, then chalupas.
Oh, okay. Chalupas.
Two beef chalupas, no lettuce, no tomato.
That's what I'm talking about. Can't be putting those vegetables on there.
What? Follow-up question. Two questions for the price of one on this one. Actually, a few questions. What years were you in Ames?
Man, I graduated in 08.
I'm so old.
I know.
I think 2000. Like 06 to 08. It was short because, you know, it took me, I graduated from high school in 03. And then I went to DMAC for like 4 years. And, you know, I had one school year at DMAC where I got 2 credits. So
Tommy and I are just alike. I knew Tommy and I had a lot in common.
was Ponchero still on Welch Avenue then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they still have the El Gordo burrito?
I was a big Euro man.
Oh, the Euro guy was great. Yeah.
He's still there, right?
I don't know. It's been so long since I've been back. Because then there was Super Dog or something after, which is after my time.
I'd always heard stories that the Euro man like ran for like city council or school board or something. And I was like, that dude's gonna win in landslide.
You should write that story, Tommy.
I should.
But yeah, the Poncheros used to have the 2-pound El Gordo burrito.
Oh, that's good.
And they were open late, so you could pick that up after you'd been at the bars for a while. Chorizo, El Gordo burrito. It was the best.
Do we think that, what's the pizza place called?
Which Welch, one? That used to be one? There?
Welch, yeah.
Well, now, if you're going back to my time, it was Rocky was Rococo's. Which
there
was my
there was a favorite. Home. There was a home team there somewhere, but I think that was actually on
Pizza
Lincoln
Pit.
Way.
Pizza Pit, yeah.
Yeah.
Do we think this? Like, I always liked Pizza Pit, whatever it's called. But I felt like it was kind of, you know, whatever. But like Marcus Fizer, and he, I'm assuming, was under the influence. But
I can ask him tomorrow night. You know.
You should. He told us. He told
Hold
us
on. I'll text him right now. Hold on.
He told a bunch of us a story, and this would have been like 15 years ago, that one night him and his wife like drove to Ames. Like they drove like 8 hours because they wanted Pizza Pit or Pita Pit. Like
pizza
whatever.
Pizza. Yeah.
When he was in Chicago?
I think so. And like he told us this when I think he was getting inducted into the Iowa State Hall of Fame. He had come back. So this would have been like 10 years ago. But I had asked him the story, like, yeah, have you come back to Ames much? And he was like, well, you know. And I was like, what the hell, dude? Like, it's not that good. Like,
I would not be shocked. If that's
that,
true,
it seems like maybe I've heard
right,
him say that.
Hold on, I'm gonna call him.
Did he? I want to say that might have been a wife's craving thing when
I
she was pregnant
so.
With one of the boys.
Maybe,
I think I've heard him talk about that.
Yeah,
I'm calling.
He might
him
have
right
talked
now.
About it on Sigh of the Storm or something like that.
Can you hear that,
yeah.
Marcus?
Hey.
So I'm on this podcast with Tommy Birch from the Des Moines Register.
Okay.
We're talking about Pizza Pit. Is it true that you drove from Chicago once just to get pizza at Pizza Pit?
Hold on a second. I got pizza. Hold on a second. Look, there we go. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm on a podcast with Tommy Birch, right, for the Des Moines Register.
Okay.
I need a confirmation. Did you once drive from Chicago back to Ames just for Pizza Pit?
Absolutely. And the calls of it is standing right beside me. I mean, 6 months pregnant with Marcus Jr., we drove at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to Ames, Iowa, just to get Pizza Pit the next morning. And then drove back to Chicago.
That is absolutely insane.
Hey, it's not that it's good.
Good to him. I remember one car, we were in a Cadillac DeVille or whatever it is that we had gotten. So that is true.
Okay. All right. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. I'll talk to you later. Okay, brother. All right, later, bro. Okay, well, there you go. I
see I have some credibility. Not much.
That's insane. Oh my God.
That's funny. Hey, man.
I have been hungry and I've had cravings.
I'm not driving.
You've never had pregnancy cravings, though.
No, but thank God my wife, like, man, when she's been pregnant, I have lived like a king. Like, yeah, I'll go get some cake.
There you go. That's right.
My wife's craving was Coca-Cola.
Really?
When she was pregnant. And like, she doesn't drink a whole lot of Coca-Cola normally, but for whatever reason, when she was pregnant, she wanted caffeine-free Coke. I swear I could have bought it by the semi truckload.
There was one time my wife wanted, like, it was very specific. She was like, I want birthday cake from Dolls. I was like, okay. Dolls. So I go up to Dolls and I remember, like, you know, I'm getting this cake and like somebody I know is in line next to me and she's like, whose birthday is it? And I'm like, nobody. Just my wife wanted some birthday cake, so
gotta do
baby
what you
wants,
do.
Baby gets.
Gotta do what you gotta do. I'm gonna get this quick break from Wintrust and then we'll come back and we'll kind of wrap up here with Tommy Birch, okay?
Are you in the market for a new house and unsure of the mortgage process? Want to know that you have someone looking out for you? Kyle Lehman from Wintrust Mortgage is a down-to-earth, knowledgeable lender who can be there for you in your corner. He can work with you in any of the 50 states and is just what you need to expand your home search. Kyle will work with you through the entire process with little to no work from you. Take the worry of the mortgage process out of the equation so that you can focus on looking for your dream home. Contact Kyle at www.wintrust.com/Kyle-Lehman or call him at 515-473-0546.
All right, and we're back. Check out Kyle Lehman for all your mortgage origination loans that you're looking for. Tommy, let's switch gears real quick. Well, I know it's getting late, but I'd be remiss if you talked a little bit about your wife and we like to sometimes talk about being dads, our dads here, things like that. Tell me what's the biggest change that you've had in your life since you've had your son?
Not giving a crap. Like, man, I used to get so fired up, you know, on social media where, you know, people, you know, I went through a lot of crap, you know, during the early part of my career, and I took a lot of crap from people. And it used to just tear me apart. You know, I went through, an intentional drug overdose. And, you know, that's about as down as you can probably get. And now, like, I look back at that. Now, when I hear from somebody that's pissed off, annoyed, takes a cheap shot, I'm just like, I don't give a crap. It's like, parenting has offered the most important perspective in life. And, you know, it's like even this week, you know, today's my first day of parental leave. I'm going to be off for like the next 6 weeks. And the back of my mind, I'm kind of thinking, like, what am I going to miss? And then, you know, I'm like, you know what? Like, I thought about this when our first son, Bodie, was born. I was still covering Iowa State football at the time. And, like, I was in the hospital room, and I'm like, man, you know, it's like, I feel weird not being at media day. Like, it feels wrong. And now I'm just like, I'm so thankful I didn't go that year. Like, I don't remember hardly anything about that team or anything, but remember all those moments of being in the hospital room. Like, the craziest thing, when my wife's having our firstborn, like, this is not an exaggeration at all. It's right when, like, all the Ohio State stuff is coming out about Matt Campbell. Like Urban's getting axed, or, you know, he's going to walk away, whatever. And, like, we're in the hospital room, like, watching ESPN. And by that point, like, I've already told my boss, like, she's getting induced. I'm out now. It's like, no biggie. And I'm, like, watching and reading all this stuff. You know, Matt Campbell is going to be – Matt Campbell and Ryan Day are, like, the two dudes. And I'm kind of like, man, you know, I should be there, whatever. And I'm like, whatever. But, like, one of the nurses that's helping us through labor, it's like a diehard Iowa State fan. And she knew who I was. Like, I think she had followed me on Twitter. I'm like, I'm not exaggerating one bit when I say, like, in between Allison pushing this woman a couple of times, I'm like, You think Campbell would go to Ohio State? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Like, baby. So yeah, like, perspective. And, like, you know, at first I was, like, real hesitant to give up covering Iowa State football and men's basketball to, like, move to this features beat. Like, wasn't sure if it was what I wanted to do. But now, like, you know, with Randy Peterson retiring, you know, I've had some talks, and, like, there's just no way I would go back to it, just because, like, I wanna be the dad that's at T-ball games and stuff like that. And there's just no way I'd be able to do that.
Randy retiring, what's that mean? What did Randy mean to you?
So my first day on the beat, like, I got thrown onto the beat because we had some layoffs, and I didn't think I was ready. I probably wasn't ready. And, you know, I remember one night, like, I drunkenly texted an editor, like, don't you dare try to make me cover this. And I'm like, God, what was I thinking? Like, texting a boss at, like, 2 a.m. Like, I don't want this really nice beat. But Randy called me, and, like, everybody thinks Randy can be an asshole. he, you know, he's old, he's curmudgeoned, he's a really nice guy though. And he called me, and, you know, who knows? You guys are probably blocked by him on Twitter.
I'm not. He actually DM'd me once after the story came out about my dad and Marty Terrell.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's funny that
he won't answer my DM now, though, when I asked him to come on this pod. But that's a whole nother story.
So I'm the backup.
Not at all.
We looked it up on Randy's phone the other day, and he has, like, a couple hundred blocked people on Twitter. It's got to be more than 200. But when they threw who has
more?
Speech,
wait, who has more, Randy or Pollard?
That's just what I was going to ask. Got to be Jamie.
So I've got. Do you got time for a quick story?
We got as much time as you want, Tommy.
So Dylan Muntz, he worked at the Ames Tribune. He's coming back. Him and I are coming back from Iowa State Baylor football. We've got this long layover, and I forget what tournament Iowa State's men's basketball is playing in, championship game of whatever. It's during Prohm's era. This guy's sitting at the airport bar next to us, and he's a diehard Iowa State fan. We started chatting with him, and you know, somehow it gets brought up about Pollard, and you know, Jamie for a long time would always like break news on Twitter. Like, we just agreed to a contract extension with Matt Campbell. We're gonna send out a press release in an hour. Well, this guy like saw this kid. He was like 25 at the time. He sees Pollard at a tailgate. He was like, Jamie, you blocked me. Is there any way you can unblock me? You know, you post some important stuff. And he was like, email this all according to the guy. He said, Jamie told him, email me, I'll look at your Twitter history and then decide. Well, apparently this guy had tweeted to him a couple of times, like about firing Prohm. And he goes, I've looked at our history. I will unblock you if you promise not to tweet anything negative about my coaches. Something along those lines. And the guy goes, yeah, I can't make that promise. He's still blocked. But going back to what I was saying too, like when I got thrown onto the beat, Randy called me up and he was like, I pick up the phone. He's like, I'm not going to let you fail. And I'm like, what? He's like, I'm not going to let you fail. And I was like, okay. You know, that meant a lot to me because I grew up in Des Moines. And I tell him all the time, like, I grew up as a little kid, like, eating my Cheerios on the living room floor and, like, reading the Des Moines Register with Randy Peterson, Rick Brown, Mark Hansen, all those guys. So it is wild that he is retiring. Like, people would ask me, you know, him and I got into so many stupid little bickering matches, mostly because I was immature when I was on the beat with him. People would ask me, like, all the time, like, how long is he going to do it? And I'd be like, I don't know, until he dies or I kill him, you know? And I'm happy that he gets to walk away on his own terms. I don't know what he's going to do now. Like, one of his daughters told me, you know, Randy loves to walk. He loves to be outside. And she was like, yeah, I told him he should be a dog walker. I can't see Randy like strolling up to my house and being like, yeah, I'm here for your dog.
2 o'clock. Take your shih tzu outside.
Yeah.
I'm here to walk your dog.
Yeah. See you tomorrow.
Right. No kidding. Well, Tommy, we're going to end the pod here with this last quick little segment. This is a semi-sponsored segment. Steph Copley, who is famously known in the Iowa State world, was on a podcast with us. And the previous host, Tim, would not shut the fuck up. So Steph told him to shut up. So we decided to sponsor that segment. And what we're going to do is we're going to play an ad from Steph encouraging people to donate to the Young Women's Resource Center. And then when we come back, Aaron and I have to shut the fuck up and you can say whatever you want, Tommy.
So about whatever
any subject you want. So carte blanche. So let's get a word from Steph and then we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Steph Copley, the woman behind the STFU segment on the Old Man Strength podcast. When I told the guys I wanted to sponsor this segment, they recommended that I make a charitable donation instead. So that's what I did. I chose the Young Women's Resource Center in Des Moines, Iowa. They're a nonprofit that supports, educates, and advocates for girls and young women ages 10 to 24. Their whole goal is to make sure that these young women become strong, self-confident, and successful. And if you know me at all, you know that aligns with my goals as well. If you're interested and would like to donate, check them out at ywrc.org and donate today. And remember, don't forget to STFU and listen every once in a while. Thanks.
All right. And we hope everybody does donate to the Young Women's Resource Center. All right, Tommy, here's your chance. No repercussions whatsoever. You can say whatever the hell you want and Aaron and I can't respond.
At least not from us.
Yeah, not from us. Yeah. We don't have any repercussions.
I think my bosses may have something to say about that. They're not listening. what did Bob Barker always say? Like, he would always give the, you know, have your pets spayed or neutered. I thought about, like, reading off that. But, man, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's been a blast. I'd love sharing stories. Hope we didn't get too boring. I hope I didn't ramble too much. But, you know, Iowa State's got some pretty effing crazy fans, and I appreciate everybody that tweets to me, talks to me, reads anything I wrote, you know, write or anything. It always means the world. So I love getting to chat with guys like you, and it's been a blast tonight. I appreciate it.
Well, we've really enjoyed it, and it's been a long time coming. It was fun to kind of shoot the shit and get to know you and whatever. And you've always got a friend here with Aaron and I for sure. So
awesome. It was fun.
Aaron, you got awesome. Anything else?
No, I don't think so. Appreciate it so much, Tommy. And, you know, don't let Chris Welch on getting you that bottle.
Oh no, that'll be delivered. You know what? I'll tell you what, we'll just have breakfast at Wavelength Cafe and I'll bring it to you.
Perfect. I got that. There we go. I'm all off right. for a month.
There you go. I know. God, nobody's going to be running that shop. Randy's gone. You're gone. Who's going to be running that place? You don't care, Hines. Do you?
Oh, God.
Travis Hines. We'll leave Hines to it. That sounds terrible. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to another episode of Old Man Strength on the Three Beards Media Network. Of course, we broadcast Andrew Downs, such a great sponsor that we have, Revelton and Kyle Lehman. Watch out. We've got – we actually have Mark Tampa on with Brent and Marcus and Dave tomorrow night on Side of the Storm. So we're going to get a little news about the draft. And then Billy Blank and I have an episode of False Starts coming up. So, Aaron, anything to close out?
Once again, no.
Okay. As always, we have the professional Aaron Wall with us. Couldn't do it without him. And yep. With that, we are out of here.